Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
To HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. I'll be chatting with Dick Trom, founder of Achilles. So tell me a little bit about Achilles.
We started back in 1983, and it's an organization of disabled long-distance runners. The goal is to have people running in a mainstream situation, and our focus is on marathon running.
So, can you tell me a little bit about the training practices?
Well, we're all over the world. We're in over 70 countries, and many, including Canada. And the practices vary dramatically in terms of the group and the place. In New York City, where we have a very large chapter, we meet twice a week, on Tuesday evenings and Saturday mornings, and we go out in different groups depending upon the speed and the level of the person who is running.
So how did the work begin?
I'm sorry, say it again.
So how did the work of Achilles begin?
Well, very interestingly, if we go, it's a long story, but if we go back to 1976, I'm an above-the-knee amputee, and I ran the New York City Marathon on an artificial leg. A picture of me was given to Terry Fox in 1977, before he was about to lose his leg, and he saw the picture, and according to his mother, Betty, he said, "If that old guy can run a marathon, I can run one every day." So, and he had the amputation. He started to get back into shape, and eventually he ran two-thirds of the way across Canada. When he passed in June of 1981, I was invited to Toronto to do a number of races to help with the fundraising. And I went again in 1982, September of 82, to do this, and there was a much higher comfort level than there's a much in Toronto in terms of people with disabilities, and there was a mainstreaming in a number of the races. And I said, gee, we could take this and do it back in New York. And we started a program. It was an 8-week program for people with disabilities to run. And then in January of 1983, the 8 weeks was over, and the question is, what do we do now? And the thought was, let's move it from a program to a club. We called it Achilles because Achilles was a Greek god, but he had a disability.
So, what type of disabilities do you most commonly see with the organization?
Well, there are, it's really a number of different disabilities that are very common. We have many people who are visually impaired. We have many people who use wheelchairs, typically as a result of amputation or paraplegia or quadriplegia. And then we have many people with disabilities that are not particularly obvious, like a multiple sclerosis or traumatic brain injury.
So, in your time with the organization, what sorts of challenges have you seen?
Well, I guess the biggest challenge is the fundraising. In other words, as you know, funds come in, they generate additional programs. So the big focus is on you know, bringing in funds to cover the program.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with Achilles, is there any one success moment that's really stood out for you?
Well, I guess one of the success moments was in 2005 when we had a number of recently wounded veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan complete the Boston Marathon. And in a number of cases, these are people who had lost their legs within the past year. And here they were doing a marathon in Boston.
So if you could send any one message about the need for people with disabilities to get out there and participate in things like marathons, what would it be?
The message is that many of the people who have already done this, and we literally have thousands, consider that first marathon the most exciting and best day of their lives. What we're doing is we're giving people an opportunity to achieve. And once someone has this significant achievement, next day, the question is, what else can I do?
So, what are the next steps for Achilles?
Well, what we're doing now is we have a children's program. We have about 10,000 kids in it, 13 states and a few different countries. And we've been doing this for many years, and it's basically computerized, and we're looking to dramatically expand it from 10,000 to 50,000, you know, over the next several years.
So
this is one of our objectives.
So how do you go about spreading the word about initiatives like this one?
Well, it's actually very easy in that people hear about us and sign up. The big thing is how do we pay for it? The basic Achilles Kids program is one that's done in the school system with adaptive physical education teachers, and each child upon signing up for the program gets a t-shirt, and then along the way there are little prizes so that a child with the help of a teacher keeps track of the amount of mileage, and when they reach 13 miles or 13.1 miles, which is a half marathon, they win a medal. And then those who completed a total of 26.2 miles with a marathon distance, which is, you know, done over the school year, they win a pair of running shoes. And last year we gave out over 4,400 pair of running shoes. And the you know, it's a nice, wonderful little system that we provide, you know, at no charge to the different schools. And this is, you know, known, and people just come and sign up for it.
So, do you work in partnership with any other organizations?
Well, we do. We have, like, we have a partnership with a Beth Israel Medical Center in New York, which focuses on people with diabetes. We have a program that's associated with Rusk Institute, which focuses on people with traumatic brain injuries. We have a program that is associated with the you know, the Walter Reed Medical Center for wounded soldiers.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. Fascinating interview. First hearing about how a disabilities running program just began so simply, but over time, how the work progressed and the lives that could have potentially been inspired. We can never know the impact that any action can take. Terry Fox, great example to me. He had no idea, I'm sure, when he took up his run, just how many people would take to heart the message he was trying to send. There really is hope in the world. There really is a chance to make things better. Sometimes in disability life, it's easy to say, this is beyond me. This is not a thing I can deal with. But how do you know that? How can anyone know that until they take that first step? That first chance on believing someone who says, I will support you. Or trying something just to better their quality of life. It's easy to get stuck in a place where you just don't believe there can be anything greater. But it's organizations like Achilles that are saying it can be done. All you have to do is find it within yourself. Take a chance. Might work, it might not. But you'll be a better person, I guarantee, for having taken the chance to learn something both about your own condition and about the resolve in each of us just to live with strength and courage. In disability life, I see this fascinating divide. There's what an individual's actions mean to them and what they mean to society. Sometimes we as a society take a tendency to look at every action of a person with a disability as, oh, you're so courageous for doing this or that. But the fact is, in many cases, a person with a disability is simply living the way they would want to live, choosing to follow their heart, to follow their dream. Not necessarily to inspire. Their actions may be something of inspiration, but it should come from the fact that this is a person of strength and character, not just because they have a disability. A disability is a very important part of who a person is and what impact they have on this world, but it is not the sole defining characteristic of a person. Their capabilities, their potentials, like their able-bodied counterparts, these things are yet unknown and are something to be explored. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Ontario Students Against Impaired Driving is an anti-impaired driving initiative that strives to promote smart, healthy choices through education and public awareness to prevent tragedies caused by impaired and distracted driving. OSAID is about teens helping teens to consider safe alternatives and new perspectives to the perceived norms about alcohol, illicit drugs, and dangerous driving. For more information or to join the team, visit www.osaid.org.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Dick Trom from Achilles. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Jean Phoenix from Ataxia Canada. So tell me a little bit about Ataxia Canada.
Ataxia Canada is a small movement to join people living with neurodegenerative hereditary diseases and immediate caregivers, health professionals, and researchers.
So,
to make health professionals, political decision makers, and population aware of the disease and impact of the physical and psychological health on the victim, and to promote and protect and develop economic and social professional recreational interests, to advance research on familial ataxia, to inform the members and partners of different activities, and to organize and hold conferences, meetings, exhibitions to get to provide more information for the people. And the most important activities is to generate funds by means of fundraising campaigns, activities, voluntary subscription, request for grants, shares, and legacies in order to realize our goals.
So, how does ataxia affect a person?
It affects the person in many ways. First, the person have problem to walk, handle the small things. There's also dysarthria. People are having difficulty to speak, and after all the nervous system is affected, cerebellum first, and it's an inherited disease. There's different forms, two different forms, dominant and recessive ataxia, and it affects all the bodies, and the disease is in the cells of every individual, not localized. It's not a disease that affects only one tissue. Every tissue of the body is affected, but at different level.
So, in your time with Ataxia Canada, what sorts of challenges has the organization faced?
The main challenge is to raise awareness about the impact of the this kind of rare diseases. Among rare diseases, ataxia are the most common diseases in the Canada and Quebec, and all the provinces are one of the worst place in the world to help or recognize the impact of of this kind of disease, and the rare diseases are not known in Canada. We have different countries in the world who joined a big movement to help people and make research on the rare diseases. Everything started in France and the United States. And Canada is not a part of this general movement to make research and to found big laboratories to find a cure to ataxia and other uncommon diseases.
So, at the present time, are there any treatments available for ataxia?
There are some treatments to reduce the impact of the... I can take the Friedreich ataxia as an example, to reduce the impact of Friedreich ataxia. There's a antioxidant available, but the impact is very limited. There are some benefit on the heart and some benefit on the energy, more energy available for people living with this kind of disease, but it's also a problem of less energy available on with here in the on every people with every people living with ataxia, they are lacking energy.
So, if you could send any one message about the need to get awareness going, what would it be?
The most important message is to fund research to help us to raise money to develop more therapy to help these people, where our hope are in the gene therapy, because is the cause the is in the genetic of every person. It's a genetic disease, and the we have to modify the genetic of these person, and we are now able to cure different diseases with the modification of the gene, and we are able to modify the genetic of mouse models, and we started crowdfunding a project on the American website, and it's also available in Canada. It's on Consano website. You can search Consano website on Google, and you can find our research project. During the last 2 years, we found a research project in Quebec City, $500,000 to develop a gene therapy for Friedreich ataxia. And there, Friedreich ataxia is only one form of ataxia. There's maybe 100 different type of ataxia. And if you live with a form of ataxia, the evolution is very different from another form. And from one people to another, the evolution is different also.
So
that's why it's so difficult to find research on many types of ataxia. Our effort on the are on Friedreich ataxia for the moment, but we help identify the different types of ataxia present in Quebec and Canada.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
That's the thing, folks. No matter how rare the condition or the disease, you've got to figure it affects someone out there. A person, friends, family, people who care about them. Therefore, my opinion is, was, and ever shall be that any condition deserves consideration by society. Anyone affected in any way deserves same respect, same opportunities, the same hope as anyone else in society. We all have things that make us unique, different ways of doing things. When people think of disability life, they tend to think of challenges, hurdles to be overcome. But it is our responsibility as a society not to make these challenges or hurdles bigger than they are. I maintain that a person with a disability, like anyone else in society, can achieve great things if they play to their skills, are given the right tools, the right opportunities. That's how it works for everybody, folks. You have to be in the right place at the right time, meet the right person who's going to give you an opportunity to succeed based on your skills, your abilities, but not just based on that, based on the recognition that you have such skills and capabilities. It begins with an open mind and the idea that everyone can achieve, can succeed. We all have something to contribute to society. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink4, HandyLink, the numeral 4, gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. It's rare conditions that can really kind of sneak up on a person who's had limited contact with individuals with disabilities. They might be familiar with the common household name ones. Autism, paralysis, we're all familiar with those. But for someone who hasn't had as much contact with people with disabilities, I would offer the following advice. Keeping an open mind is a first step. It's about recognizing people might act a certain way or perform tasks in a certain way based on their condition. Understanding that everyone has unique characteristics is a very important beginning. It's where we come to realize having a disability doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It means there's one factor in your life that qualifies as a disability. That is not to say that a person has more or less value than anyone else in society. Because nobody can make that kind of determination. Person suffering from paralysis, given the right tools, the right opportunities, and yes, even the right contacts, who knows what they might accomplish. Same could be true of someone with a vision impairment or a hearing impairment. But it's up to each member of society to keep an open mind and say, I believe that this segment of the community can achieve just as well as any other. Because the fact is, it's not an isolated segment of the community. Individuals with disabilities are just a part of the greater picture. As I view things, I see all of us, regardless of where we're coming from, what our thoughts on the world today are, we're all living simply to make the world as best we can. And each of us does so in our own way. Individuals with disabilities are certainly no exception to this. Recently, I've had the opportunity to find out a great deal about just disability relationships, social interactions. It's a fascinating thing, folks, seeing groups of individuals with disabilities coming together, just learning from each other's strengths and recognizing those strengths do exist. Working together, class projects, socializing, all sorts of things. It's really an amazing thing. But in the disabled community, you'd never be likely to hear the question of, can you really do this? Because most individuals with disabilities, at least the ones I've encountered, have been those who have recognized that each of us has potential. What that potential is of course, up to the individual to define, to ask the questions. Are my rights being respected? Am I getting all the support that I need to reach my best? It's up to a person with a disability to both know and know how to act upon things that would help them, the rights and the responsibilities. An individual with a disability is a part of the community. And what that means is, in every way, they should be given some inclusion. Voting process, political decisions that may impact them, just proposed changes to the policies make up the community. Individuals with disabilities have just as much right to know these things and to act upon these things as anyone else. But we as a society must always go forward. You can't take into consideration every potential happenstance, I get that. But the fact is, we as a society are seeing more and more attention, more and more respect given to disability life. Organizations providing support and encouragement to these individuals. As they keep up their work, and as we enter the holidays, gives us just all the more reason to celebrate. Greater equality, greater respect, greater community. That's what it's all about in disability life. Fact is, individuals with disabilities have a lot to contribute, and it is our responsibility as a society to encourage them to do so. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.